You come in low over the ridge, and the canyon walls rise up on both sides and somewhere down in that tight Idaho drainage, down there where the trees are so dense they look like a dark green carpet pulled across the mountains. There is supposed to be an airport. Supposed to be. I'm Ramp on Ramp Check, and you are listening to Radio Hanger. Today I'm taking you to one of the most remote, most demanding, and most absolutely breathtaking places you can put down a small airplane in the entire lower 48 states. Moose Creek Ranger Station. Deep in the Selway Bitterroot Wilderness in central Idaho, no roads in, no bridges, no way to reach this place except on foot, on horseback, or in an airplane, and I am here to tell you, once you see it from the air, you will want to take the airplane every single time. Before we drop into that canyon together, I want to bring in today's sponsor because honestly it fits the spirit of this trip. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up, mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's go to Idaho. The Selway Bitterroot Wilderness is one of the largest wilderness areas in the continental United States, over 1.3 million acres, mountains and rivers and forest so dense and so wild that it genuinely looks the way it looked before any of us got here. There is not a single road that passes through it, not one. The Selway River cuts through the heart of it, cold and fast, and a color of green that doesn't really exist anywhere else, and off the Selway, tributaries reach up into the mountains in every direction like fingers spread wide across a map. Moose Creek is one of those fingers. It runs down from the high country and meets the Selway, and in the narrow valley where the land flattens out just enough, there is a log ranger station that has been standing since the 1930s. The Civilian Conservation Corps, the CCC, built it during the Great Depression. President Roosevelt's program to put unemployed men to work on the country's wild places. These guys built trails and fire lookouts and ranger stations all over the American West, and they built them to last. The Moose Creek Station is still standing, those same CCC-era log buildings still in use every summer. I mean, look. They knew what they were doing. Getting to Moose Creek in those early days meant horses or boots. Days of hard travel just to reach a place where most people would say, "Why would anyone go out there?" The Forest Service managed the Selway Bitterroot on horseback, the way the old-timers managed all of the deep wilderness, slowly, methodically, by pure patience. Then pilots started showing up. Small airplanes, first landing on gravel bars along the rivers, then on strips that pilots and the Forest Service cut out of the wilderness together. The relationship between aviation and wilderness management in Idaho was one of the great underappreciated stories in American aviation history. The airplane didn't just make these places more accessible, it made it possible to manage them at all. Think about that. There are wilderness ranger stations in Idaho that quite literally could not function without general aviation pilots. That's us. That's our community doing something real. The Moose Creek airstrip was cut to give the Forest Service a genuine supply line to their most remote station, and it changed everything about how this wilderness gets managed. The strip is roughly 3,500 feet long, set in a narrow valley with the creek running alongside it and timber crowding in close on both edges. It slopes uphill, not gently uphill, meaningfully uphill. You land going uphill toward the northeast into the drainage. You depart going downhill out toward the Selway, one way in, one way out. There are trees at the uphill end, big trees. This is not a place where you reconsider the landing midway down and try again. When you cross that threshold, you are committed, full stop, in both senses of the phrase. I want to be direct about something right here because it matters. Moose Creek is not a beginner destination. I don't care how many hours you have. If you are new to backcountry mountain flying, this is not where you start. The terrain demands that you have solid mountain flying technique that you've built up over time, in progressively more demanding environments, with good instruction behind you. Density altitude management out here is not optional. Canyon flying is not the same as flying in open airspace, and your instrument rating does not prepare you for it. The pilots who operate successfully in the Idaho backcountry are some of the most technically prepared aviators I know. They got there by starting on easier strips, flying with mentors, taking clinics, learning to read wind from treetops and water surface and smoke and every other environmental cue that tells you what the air is doing, learning their specific airplane's real-world performance numbers cold, not approximately exactly, because in summer, heated elevation, the margin you think you have is smaller than you think. If you want to fly Idaho's backcountry, and you absolutely should because it is one of the finest experiences available to us as general aviation pilots, do it right. The Recreational Aviation Foundation, or RAF, is a great place to start looking for mountain flying instruction and mentorship programs. Get some dual time with someone who knows this terrain. The strips will be there when you're ready. Now, let me take you on the approach, because this is the part that stays with you. You've departed from somewhere like Salmon or Grangeville, or maybe Missoula if you're coming in from Montana. You've been flying into progressively wilder terrain for the last 30 or 40 minutes. The roads below have been getting smaller and then disappearing entirely. The towns have given way to homesteads and then the homesteads have given way to nothing at all. Just trees and ridgelines and rivers. You pick up the Selway below you, follow it upstream. The canyon walls grow taller as you go deeper in. Your scan changes out here. You're not just watching for traffic and weather, you're reading terrain constantly. You're watching the ridge lines ahead, you're monitoring your clearance on both sides, you're watching the water surface for ripple patterns that tell you what the wind is doing at river level, you're watching the treetops. Every piece of visual information is data. Your brain is processing at a rate it does not process anywhere else. You make the turn into the Moose Creek drainage, the valley tightens. You can see the strip now, a pale tan scar cut into the dark green, tilted uphill at the far end, trees pressing in close from both sides. It looks impossibly small from up here. It always looks that way. That's normal, you know this. Airspeed is exactly where you want it. Stable approach, no surprises. You have briefed this in your head 100 times before you ever flew it for real. You know the numbers, you know where the threshold is, where the slope begins, where you need to be stopped. You cross the fence, the wheels touch, and then you're rolling uphill and braking. And the trees at the end are in the windscreen, and the airplane slows and slows and stops, and it is absolutely, completely, profoundly quiet, except for the creek. You can hear Moose Creek running right there just off the edge of the strip, and somewhere in the pines, a bird making a sound I have never heard anywhere that has a parking lot. I sat in the airplane for a full minute after I shut down. Just sat there, hands in my lap, looking at the mountains on every side, the deep forest, the narrow strip of blue sky above the canyon. There wasn't any thought that fit the moment. It was just the moment. Some places do that to you. The ranger station is a short walk from the strip. There's a footbridge over the creek. The log buildings are right there on the other side, shaded under big ponderosa pines, with a corral off to one side where the horses stand in the shade. I met a ranger named Sarah on my visit. She had been coming back to Moose Creek for 7 consecutive summers. 7 years out here, every summer, managing this wilderness. She told me that the first time she flew in, she looked out the window at the canyon walls on the approach and thought the pilot had made a wrong turn. There was no way, she said, that there was an airport down there. Then they landed. She stepped off the airplane onto that tilted strip with the creek noise and the pine smell and the mountains pressing in from every direction, and she thought, I'm coming back here for the rest of my life if they will have me. 7 summers in, still coming back. Sarah's job is managing trail systems, monitoring the river ecology, responding when hikers get into trouble, which happens more than you'd expect in terrain this demanding. She goes out on horseback for days at a time into backcountry where no airplane can follow her deep canyon trails, high passes, places where the only communication is what she carries on her back, and when she comes back to the station after one of those long patrols, she told me, the first thing she does is look up and check the sky, because a pilot might be coming. The flying community brings mail to the rangers at Moose Creek, fresh food, sometimes medical supplies, sometimes just conversation and company, which matters more than you might expect in a place where weeks can go by without many visitors. Volunteer pilots from all over Idaho participate in this. They do it because they love flying and because they love the wilderness and because they understand that the people out at these remote stations genuinely need them. Sarah said there are times late in the season when the weather comes in hard and stays. The strip is closed for days, you're weathered in, and the supplies are what you came in with, and the outside world is just not reachable. When the weather finally lifts and she hears an engine coming up the Moose Creek drainage, the sound of it echoing off the canyon walls. She said that is one of the best sounds she knows, the sound of a small airplane engine in a wilderness canyon. I keep coming back to that image, the echo bouncing off those walls. The moment when you know someone is coming in, that's what aviation does in places like this. It connects. Not abstractly, concretely, real people, real supplies, real presence in places the rest of the world cannot reach. The Idaho Aviation Association and the Recreational Aviation Foundation both do important work, keeping backcountry strips like Moose Creek open and maintained. These strips are always under pressure. Budget constraints, access questions, they have to be actively defended and advocated for. The RAF fights for these strips nationwide. The Idaho Aviation Association organizes volunteer work parties where pilots show up with tools and spend weekends maintaining drainage and clearing brush and keeping the surfaces flyable. If you fly to places like this, if you use these strips, you have a real stake in keeping them open. Membership in these organizations is one of the most direct things a general aviation pilot can do to protect the backcountry flying tradition. I want to say something about the flying experience itself that I think is hard to put into words, but I'm going to try. When I'm flying low through a mountain canyon in terrain like this, I am more present than I am anywhere else in my life. Every bit of attention I have is fully in the airplane and in the moment. I'm reading the terrain, I'm reading the air, I'm making small, constant adjustments. There is absolutely no room in my head for anything that isn't happening right now. I talked to a backcountry pilot on the ramp at Moose Creek, a guy who's been flying Idaho wilderness strips for more than 20 years, and I asked him what keeps bringing him back season after season. He thought about it. He said, "Out here, the things that matter are obvious. The terrain, the weather, the airplane, the people you're responsible for, that's the list. Everything else that normally crowds into your head just does not fit inside the canyon. I've thought about that a lot since I got home."
There's a clarity to flying like this that I cannot replicate anywhere else. The stakes are real, the consequences of poor judgment are real, and so the focus is real. You cannot be half here when you're flying a one-way canyon strip at density altitude in the Idaho wilderness. The environment simply will not allow it, and maybe that's part of why people come back year after year. The forced simplicity of it. The way the mountain flying environment reaches in and clears out everything that doesn't belong. Moose Creek is not a fly-in breakfast destination. You cannot order lunch there. There is no unicomb frequency with a friendly voice on the other end telling you the winds are calm and to make straight in for runway 19. You land in one of the most genuinely remote places in the contiguous United States, and you step out onto that upsloping strip, and the creek is running and the pines are doing that thing pines do in a light wind, and the mountains are right there. That's the attraction, that's the whole thing. My thanks to the Recreational Aviation Foundation and the Idaho Aviation Association for the work they do, and to the Forest Service Rangers who are out there right now doing their jobs in places most people will never see. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Ramp. Go fly somewhere that makes you go quiet.